Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, hello and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show. Big hello to everyone on beautiful planet Earth. Our intention for our show is to support individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. We're offering an event in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Check out our Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 1st. On our website at alltruenatural.com, there will be speakers, dancers, musicians, vendors. I'm Sam Greco here with my lovely wife, Cabrini, who will interview our guest on today's show. Hi, Cabrini. The mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Sam, for that lovely introduction, and welcome, everyone, to Creative Consciousness Radio Show. We are so pleased to be with you this evening. We have an incredible guest that we are going to be introducing to you. And she comes to us from Savannah, Georgia. Her name is Catherine Kerrigan. Catherine is an author. She's recently published a book called Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness. She also has an extensive background in the healing arts, training fitness. She's a medical intuitive. She does medical intuitive readings. She also does quantum healing. And much, much more. A very diversified background Catherine has. She's been involved as a fitness columnist. She's been a playwright of 12 different plays. She produced, three were actually produced in New York City. She's been a past spokesperson for the Depression Wellness Network. And currently, the book that we're going to be talking about this evening, and again, along with all of, you know, Catherine's background here in her spiritually purposed life. Her book, Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness, is now a number one Amazon bestseller. So, you know, feel free to go ahead and check out her website at www.catherinekerrigan.com. And she also has another website, which I just love the name of, and it's called www.unlimitedenergynow.com. Well, aren't we all looking for that? So please join us, and, you know, again, thank you for being with us here in the chat room, on the airwaves, wherever you are on planet Earth. You joining with us and supporting individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives really does really support humanity overall, the whole collective consciousness, because as we all kind of, you know, individually bridge the gap and the healing takes place amongst, you know, many individuals throughout the lands, of all lands, we really do create a world that really does support everyone's happiness. So with that, let me just introduce you to Catherine Kerrigan. Catherine, are you with us today?
Thank you so much, Sam and Cabrini, for having me on your show, and I want to thank everyone out there for listening.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to have you here today with us. You've had such an, you know, we can get right to it here, Catherine. And talk a little bit about your book, Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness. And, you know, as soon as I say that to myself, you know, what comes to my mind is, you know, what is an intuition? And what is your perspective about intuition and how do we actually access our intuition?
Well, first of all, I am in very much alignment with your show and the people who are listening to this show, because when we are using our intuition, we are being guided by our soul versus being guided by our ego. And I know that if you're listening to this show, that's what you're working towards. When we allow our lives to be guided by spirit, that looks, feels, and presents much differently than when we're guided by our ego. So the books that I wrote, I'm the author of three books, and I'm just coming out with my fourth book. The book that we're talking about tonight is called What is Healing? Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness, and it's specifically about how to open your intuition and also about my work as a medical intuitive and how to use intuition specifically to help you be healthier and happier. So a lot of times we talk about intuition, and that's a very broad topic because really there's four primary psychic gifts. So there's the gift of psychic knowing, which is cognizance. I'm a prophetic. It's a prophetic gift. It's the same gift that Edgar Cayce has. Many people have heard of Edgar Cayce. He was a very famous medical intuitive. And he would go into a trance state and read the body. So what's unique about me is that I don't have to see someone or put my hands on them to know what is wrong or what will work to make them better. Then there's the gift of clairsentience, which is psychic feeling. People use this gift, you use this gift, if you are practicing energy healing, massage, the gift of clairsentience or psychic feeling is actually one of the most common gifts, and it's a gift that a lot of people can get mixed up with, because when you're clairsentient, you feel things often very deeply. You can be empathic, but there's sometimes issues with differentiating between what you're picking up from other people or from the energy around you and what's actually your feelings. Then there's the gift of clairvoyance, which is the ability to see auras, see angels, see the organs, see beyond what's happening in the real life. So there's basically psychic knowing, psychic feeling, clairvoyance, and then what's sometimes called intuition is basically clairaudience, which is hearing the voices of our angels, hearing guidance, hearing higher vibration energies. And so all of these gifts we can open, and they're all associated with energy centers in the body. So when we practice yoga, tai chi, and meditation, when we practice energy arts such as yoga, energy, tai chi, and meditation, we can open these channels in our lives and be able to use these gifts for ourselves and for the benefit of all living beings.
Wow. I just love the gifts of the spirit, or even the whole being, you know, complete, the spiritual essences that we all carry. And, you know, wouldn't you say, Catherine, that, you know, everyone has these gifts in some understanding. You know, people. You know, everyone has them.
I totally agree.
Them is the key, like you were saying, right?
Yes, I very much agree with you, Cabrini. It's my experience that all humans have these gifts because we all have a soul, and basically, what we have eyes, we have ears, we have hands, and we can feel with these ordinary senses. But basically, it's my experience that intuition is our soul guidance. And because we're all human and we are all actually souls, everyone has these gifts. And it's just a matter of learning how to develop them. And I teach lots of people about their gifts. What's my experience, Cabrini, is that everyone has primary gifts. So just like some people are naturally musically talented, some people may be very good at the gift of clairaudience and have more challenge operating from others. So you have a gift that's a gift that you use primarily for your soul. You have a gift that you use primarily for your body and how you receive information about your physical body. There's a gift where you use primarily about your family and people that you know, your people under your roof. And then you have a gift that you use primarily in your work. And when we understand how to open yourself, you can open all these gifts and use them in all areas of your life, but it's my experience that certain gifts are easier to open for different people depending on what your soul is most accustomed to using.
And, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, for our listeners, that, you know, perhaps you're using these skills and not actually putting a name to them.
Absolutely.
Or may not even having the knowledge that these are actual gifts of your personhood. So I think that's really, really, really important. Well, what do you think some of the techniques that you would suggest to someone to hone into their intuitive skills?
Well, the first thing that I think that is very, very important for if someone is serious about developing their intuition, I think the very first thing that you need to do, actually, believe it or not, Cabrini, is actually learn how to love. And the way I explain this is that there, if you think of a spectrum of color with red on one end and blue on the other, judgment, which is what we do with our ego when we say, I don't like that, or I think that's wrong, or those people are bad, that's judgment. And that's at one end. And unconditional love is at the other end. Because the truth is, Cabrini, when we actually perceive with the senses of our soul, a lot of times what's actually happening is 180 degrees different from what we perceive through our ego mind. So our ego mind could say, this is a tragedy. That event shouldn't happen. Those people shouldn't act that way. And yet when we look at things from the soul level, we can see that there are soul agreements, that things are always unfolding for our highest good, even if we're not immediately able to perceive what that reason is. So the first thing, believe it or not, I feel that people need to do to develop their intuition is actually to learn how to love and eventually to practice loving unconditionally, which is just really accepting things as they are and perceiving the divine and having reverence for all living beings. So as we develop this attitude, which is a relationship with all of life and all of humanity, then it's very easy to open your intuition, intuitive gifts, because there's nothing that's going to shut down your intuition faster than judgment.
Wow, you really nailed it there. How beautiful. How absolutely beautiful. The idea of unconditional love can be really almost far-reaching for many people because, you know, in their own living experiences, Catherine, they've had difficulties. And I run across that a lot in, you know, with talking to individuals. They really don't know whether or not unconditional love really does exist. And, you know, if you can just, you know, reflect a little bit about your understanding of what unconditional love is. Perhaps some of our listeners can really, you know, understand that and also resonate with that.
Well, that's a great question, Cabrini. And I would actually say that the purpose of a spiritual life, in my view, is actually to learn how to love. Yeah. And many people have limited experience with love. You know, it's something that we all crave, it's something that we all need, it is one of the highest expressions of our human life on earth. So a lot of times we have to begin with just ordinary everyday experience. And in my book, What is Healing? Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness, I give some examples from my own life. I had my own father was a very challenging individual. He was abusive and all different ways you can imagine someone to be abusive. And yet I was very blessed because I had a professor at college who became the father I always wanted but never had. So that's an example of unconditional love. In my life, I have a dog, a rescue girl. She was in two pet rescues, and I'd always been a cat person. And later in life, it came upon me to adopt this rescue dog who I have absolutely fallen in love with. And with my dog, I experience unconditional love. I'm very blessed to have a wonderful fiancé, and once again, later in life, we totally unexpectedly, we found each other. That's an example of unconditional love. So I think when people are really learning how to open this capacity in themselves, they have to start with practical everyday experiences. In my studio where I practice my healing work, my studio is full of orchids. I love orchids. Orchids are the most evolved flowers on the face of the earth. They're very high vibration. Just looking at them absolutely uplifts everyone who walks into my studio. That's an example of unconditional love in our environment. So I just encourage the listeners, even if your childhood was less than optimal, even if your current circumstances are less than optimal, search in your life experience and see if you can find a person outside your family, a pet, maybe an intimate loved one, or even something in your environment, whether it's your garden or being on the mountaintop or being at the beach, where you have this transcendent experience where your soul feels uplifted and you know deep down in your heart that you are connected to all that it is and that you're supported by the earth and you're supported by the angelic and you're supported by God and you have that experience that you are loved unconditionally, even if it's just for a moment, if you've had that glimmer. Because if we have these experiences, then we can carry that feeling forward and we can expand that feeling and that experience that reverence for all of life. And this is the attitude that helps us to open our intuition.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, while you were talking, I was kind of hearing as well unconditional love for yourself. To really
yes.
experience the love of who you are individually.
And, yes.
And then, you know, be able to love another. And I, when you really just talk in the terms of love, Catherine,
mm-hmm.
it really does kind of melt everything away, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's what it's all about.
I mean, you know, are you feeling the vibe, you know, those people that are listening right now, are you feeling love? Are you letting love be in you right now? Because this is what it's about. I really am really enjoying this, Catherine. I think this is just phenomenal information for people, number one, to know that they are a spiritual being. Number two, that they have, you know, intuition that can guide them and maneuver them through the world, through this heightened sense of hearing and thought and feeling. And then, you know, your perspective of unconditional love, you know, where do you begin? I love the idea also about, you know, even if you don't have an experience of love that you can draw on, you know, just kind of go with, you know, what you would experience, you know, love to be and ask the spirit of you what love is. You know, isn't that how that works, you know? If you don't even have an experience of love, how do you really get one, you know? It takes listening, doesn't it, Catherine, and communication with your inner self?
Yes. And, you know, Cabrini, a mutual friend of ours, Augie Nost, who also runs a radio show, he wrote a beautiful blog post about prayer. And because a lot of times we think of prayer as being an order of words, but really prayer is actually a feeling.
Yeah.
And when we talk about intuition, there are numerous techniques that people can use that very, very quickly allow you to access these channels. But again, if we go into judgment, that unplugs your intuition faster than anything. So I would say that intuition, in order to keep those channels open, just like prayer, it's actually a feeling, and it's a feeling of reverence for all of life. Because as I say in my book, What is Healing? Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness. When you love unconditionally, then you know whatever you need to know. That is truly the secret to being a medical intuitive. When you love someone unconditionally, then you know whatever it is to know, whatever it is that you need to know. And many of our listeners may have had this experience already in their life. For example, if you are a mother, I am sure that you have had the experience that when your child was sick or unwell or unhappy, as a mother, you just instinctively know what your child needs. And the same thing for being a father. If you've been a father and you love your child unconditionally and a child comes to you, you know exactly what that child needs. I'm a gardener. And it's very, very,
very funny,
because a long time ago, one of my best friends gave me an orchid, and I thought, oh, dear, I'm going to kill this thing in a week. And it actually bloomed in my studio continuously for 6 months. And I have many orchids in my studio that bloom for, you know, a very, very long period of time. And I have friends who give me books about how to raise orchids and what to do and so on. But the truth is that all I simply do is I tune in and I listen. That is the secret. But you have to tune in with this feeling and attitude of reverence and unconditional love and openness and being willing to really hear what it is that this individual needs, whether it's an orchid, a person, a pet. And when we have this attitude of reverence and unconditional love, then whatever information needs to come through is absolutely going to come through, because we're listening from our soul to their soul.
Wow, that's so nice. I love the idea of reverence, too. And can you talk a little bit about that? What exactly does that mean to you, and how is that expressed in the spiritual pathway?
Yes. Well, I would talk about a spectrum. I think a spectrum is just like red and blue, that we can sort of visualize that and we can understand that. So I would say the first spectrum, the first end of the spectrum that, again, a lot of our listeners and we can all understand and relate to, having been human and being human and, you know, having lived through life. A lot of us at some point in our life have had despair, we've had despondency, we've had disappointment, we've had things that not go our way, we've had depression. So that's one end of the spectrum, depression, discouragement, and tragedy. So then what happens as we come out of this depression, discouragement, and tragedy, we begin to feel a glimmer of hope. Maybe things are not as bad as we think. Maybe things could get better. So as we pull out, we see this hope. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe things are going to get better in our lives. And then we begin to feel gratitude. We feel thankful for the people around us. We feel thankful that we live in the United States of America, where we're basically safe, where we are so blessed. We live in a very materially abundant society. We have the food, we have the housing, we have the opportunities. And as we begin to feel this gratitude and know that all of life is supporting us, then we begin to feel what I call is reverence. And when we feel reverence, what we feel, Cabrini, is that we recognize that all of Earth and all of nature is constantly supporting us, even when we pay no conscious attention to this fact. And we can feel uplifted and grateful for all our many blessings, whether it's the sun shining, the air we breathe, the exquisite beauty of the orchids, and all of nature. So I liken Mother Earth to our physical body. Even if I'm not thinking about it, my lungs are breathing. Even if I'm not thinking about it, my heart is beating. So we're all supported in many ways that we're not even aware of. And as we tune in and really notice how we're always being supported by the angelic, supported by nature, supported by the earth, then we can feel a deep feeling of reverence. And again, it's from this perception where we realize how uplifted, guided, and protected we all are, that we can really very quickly open our intuition.
Beautiful. That is such a wonderful piece of knowledge there for individuals to really access their own selves and their connection to their wholeness, their whole spiritual being. That is just wonderful perspectives of light. I do see a doorway there. And, you know, I'm sure if people are listening that you actually can actually see a doorway through gratitude, through the understanding that you're being supported by all things, you know, whether it be plant, animal, spirit, you know, the one spirit that we all are. I think it's just phenomenal to have that knowledge. And I think it really lifts people, Catherine, into a different understanding, just knowing that they are supported completely, you know, through the guidance that they're receiving in their intuition that you, you know, that you speak of. Now,
yes.
You are a health intuitive. Now,
right.
You do this as a living, correct? This is part
yes,
of your
absolutely.
Can you share a little bit about what that means? And I know that you touched on it a little bit there.
Yes.
About how you look into, you know, through unconditional love, you look directly into someone else and you can see,
yes.
You know, whatever needs to be adjusted within them. Is that what a health intuitive does?
Yes. So I am a medical intuitive and I focus on helping people be healthier and happier. Now, what I do, Cabrini, when I'm reading a person, I read the five levels of the body. Now, everyone has a paradigm. We all see the world in a specific way. And when I am reading a human being, the way of thinking of reading, if you think of a book, if you pick up a book and you open the book to, you know, any page in the book, you read the words on the page. So in order to be good as a medical intuitive, you have to be neutral. You have to be open to reading whatever words are on that page. And when I look at a human being, what I do is I read what I refer to as the five levels of being. And to me, this is a very important part of my paradigm. And it's a way that I think that maybe is how different a little bit than the way other people think. So when I read the body, I start by reading the physical body, and we know, or at least we think we know what that is, the bones, the muscles, the organs, the blood, the lymph, the systems, organ systems of the body. It's what the traditional medical people think of when they think of health, they think of the physical body. So then, in addition to reading the physical body, I read the energy body. Your energy body includes your chakras, your breath, and your acupuncture system. Now, it's important to read the energy body because the energy body actually controls the physical body. Now, the third thing that I read is the emotional body. This is the largest part of everyone. So emotions can shut down literally any physiological process in the body, and it is my experience as a longtime healer of 22 years experience, full-time, this is what I do for a living, emotions can shut down any physiological process, and until and unless you identify and also clear the emotion that caused the illness or the disease, you're not going to actually solve the problem. And we know that. We've had this experience. I remember one time I had a client who had had cancer, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but six times. He actually moved from Boston to Atlanta to be my client. And I remember when he came, I thought, dear God, why me? It was a huge learning experience for me. I learned a tremendous amount by working with this gentleman. But one of the issues, although he'd done a tremendous amount of work on his nutrition and a tremendous amount of work on the physical body, he had not cleared the root emotional issues that caused him to be sick, so he kept recreating the disease. So if listeners, if you're recreating a disease over and over and over again and you're getting tired of it, it's very important to ask, what is the emotional pattern that is causing this illness to stay in my physiology? So then the fourth thing that I read is your intellect. Your mind, your mind body includes your thoughts and your beliefs. So if you think the world is a horrible place, that is what you experience. If you have certain thoughts and beliefs, whether they were programmed by you consciously or programmed by your parents as part of your upbringing before you were five, your childhood beliefs, whatever those thoughts and beliefs you are holding is what you tend to experience. So it's very important to clear limiting beliefs that are holding you back, whether it's about money or health or any other area, and really notice what is it that you actually believe. And if you are having limiting beliefs, to address them and do the work necessary to clear them. And the last thing that I read as a medical intuitive is your soul level, your spiritual body. What are your karmic contracts? What are your soul agreements? What roles are you playing in life where you are moving away and hiding your true self? So in a nutshell, Cabrini, if I'm doing a medical intuitive reading, I read the physical body, the energy body, the emotional body, the mental body, and then the spiritual body. And when you read all five levels and you identify the blocks on each level, then you can know and be guided to clear your disease, clear your illness very, very quickly. So the supercharged, fastest way to heal anything is to look on five levels. And many times people are doing a really good job on one level. They may be eating well and exercising right and, you know, so on, or even thinking positively. But there's some level, if you're continuing to experience an illness or a dis-ease, it's because you're missing some level. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm one of those people. I had physical illness. At 20 years old, I had a very deeply emotionally charged conversation with God. And I heard my calling, and God told me what I had to do. And being 20 years old, I really didn't have, you know, the confidence to do what I was called to do. And I literally got into an argument. Within a week, I was paralyzed and in a coma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I came out of the coma, which I was there about 7 days, and I had my experience with God in my coma.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I came out, all those fears, you know, of that worry that I had about what it meant to actually live a spiritual life and my calling to hear, you know, to follow my calling, were answered. And it was like, it was almost as if there was a energetic shift. So I really get that about the physical aspects of how physical illness and disease, and I say, you know, about my own experience, you know, I take full responsibility for it. I don't think it was anybody doing, you know, I actually shut my body down in a way that I wasn't really conscious of, you know, to get further information, and I did. And so I don't think God, you know, had anything to do with that other than, you know, gave me what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, we have to – several insights about your story, Cabrina. Cabrini, that we have to understand that our soul controls our mind. Our mind controls our emotions. Our emotions control our energy body, and our energy body controls the physical. So a lot of times people focus on the physical, and it's the most slowed-down, dense part of you, but it is not who you are. You're actually a soul. And I always tell everybody, you might as well listen to your soul because it's not going to shut up or go away. If we don't listen to our intuition, if we don't listen to our guidance, then the message just gets louder and more uncomfortable until we actually listen. So, and you experience that yourself, and we've all experienced that to some extent. Where
I find that a lot of spiritual people, people that are living spiritually purposed lives, they do go through a lot of, you know, tragedy in their lives at some point. You know, and they also, some, you know, take on physical illness. And to me, in a way, it's almost like an understanding that takes place. It's, you know, not an excuse to have it. You know, it's not, you don't have to go through all those experiences to get the understanding. But when you're talking about unconditional love, you know, when you're truly in those type of experiences, you can, you know, really experience unconditional love for yourself and also for another that's been a similar experience. So it kind of does bridge the gap there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I want to make a comment also, because those of us who are living spiritually based lives, sometimes those of us who have this perspective on life, we feel guilty if we get sick. We feel guilty, oh, I shouldn't have a cold, or I shouldn't have sprained my ankle, or I shouldn't have hurt my knee. And yet the truth is that, as the Buddhists say, you know, suffering is part of life. And so if you have a physical illness, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or you're not spiritually advanced. But at the same time, we can use our spiritual gifts in order to move through or even deal with our illnesses and diseases a little more quickly and a little bit more easily, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I really, you know, support. And, there, you know, there are people that really do go through, you know, incredible challenge. They're challenged physically, you know, in their living. You know, perhaps they were born with something that, you know, they have to work with, you know, that doesn't really work well in the earth. You know, to me, you know, we all have those gifts that you talk about, Catherine. And, you know, as we access them, we can all find our own individual pathway, wouldn't you think? That
Absolutely.
It's really individually, you know, it's not about, you know, anyone working, you know, being another person. It's really about being who you are with what you have and, you know, including, you know, whatever is going on with your body, whether it's environmental or whether or not, you know, it's divinely guided.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, none of us really have the complete understanding of the mystics except that, you know, God is love.
Yeah.
So.
You know, a very long time ago, I was very blessed. My very first book was endorsed by Dr. David Hawkins. He was the author of Power versus Force.
Yes.
He passed away several years ago. He was an enlightened person. And Dr. Hawkins endorsed my first book, which was about how to heal depression without drugs. I'm currently working on publishing this year my fourth book called Banish the Blues Now, which is an updated version about holistic treatments for depression. And anyway, I talked to Dr. Hawkins, and he strongly encouraged me to read A Course in Miracles. And as I read about A Course in Miracles and read A Course in Miracles, one of the things that I learned was that people who have, you know, students of A Course in Miracles, because we're all students, because we're always learning and we're always having greater insight and depth in our spiritual experience. So serious students of A Course in Miracles, the usual things that would basically switch people off, fluorescent lights, aspartame, these people were not affected by this. And these people were not adversely affected by stimuli that normally shuts the average person down. And so as we develop, again, this reverence for all of life and see the blessingness, the blessings and the blessedness of all of life, again, we shift our attitude and we stop looking at the world in terms of victim, perpetrator, bad guys, good guys, and that has a very profound effect on our health, and we can become healthier people. So, you know, a very simple thing to do to become healthier is to pick a spiritual text, whether it's A Course in Miracles or the Bible or the Upanishads or any spiritual text to which you feel the most drawn, and really study it and take the lessons to heart so that we can change our attitude about life and about the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Right with you on that one. I love, I love what you say, you know, in your book that says, it's all God, therefore it's all good. You know, can you explain a little bit more about that? Because I really resonate that with myself. When I witness goodness, when I see goodness, when I'm in the experience of goodness, you know, I know that I'm in the experience of God. And, you know, I'm feeling that right now with you, Catherine. You know, I think, you know, we're sharing, you know, God together here. So can you explain for our audience what that means to you? It's all God, therefore it's all good?
Yeah, well, basically, you have to understand, let's just take it from a scientific perspective. It's all one energy. So the world that we live in, the universe that we live in, is all one energy. Now, within this one energy, there are different vibrations. There's slowed down vibration. Illness is simply slowed down vibration. And when we understand that illness is simply slowed down vibration, then when you want to become healthier, what you need to do is uplift your vibration. Now, we've all had this experience. The last time you had a cold, you probably wanted to lay in bed, lay on the couch, and not move around very much. And, you know, you were lucky if you could get up to make a pot of soup or make yourself a cup of tea. Or if you've been depressed, that's slowed down vibration. So all illness, whether it's a cold, a depression, or cancer, it's slowed down vibration. When we want to become healthier, we can put ourselves in a high vibration environment. If you came into the studio where I do my healing work, it is full of orchids. It is the most high vibration environment that I personally know. It's full of orchids. I'm incredibly blessed. It looks over the trees in Atlanta. I have a fountain outside and flowers. It's very peaceful. I have a little bird feeder where we can watch the birds. It's peaceful, it's beautiful, and it's uplifting. So if you are ill, you know that your vibration is slowed down. You can surround yourself with loving people. You can surround yourself with beautiful flowers. You can read spiritually uplifting text. You can laugh a lot. But it's just really a change of point of view and really realizing that it's still just one energy. And when we realize that our energy is slowed down, then whether it's by negativity or illness, then we can choose to uplift ourselves with positive thoughts, loving thoughts, prayer, meditation, surrounding ourselves with loving people in a beautiful environment, and we can shift that energy very, very quickly.
Yes, and it sounds so lovely, your studio. And, you know, we're speaking with Catherine Kerrigan. She is out of Savannah, Georgia. And you can read more about her on her website, her websites at CatherineKerrigan.com. And the other website is UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. And take a look at her book, Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Help and Happiness. Also, you know, in your book, Catherine, you were talking, I think it was on page 267, let me just see here, about how people can meditate for 20 years and still not get anywhere, spiritually speaking. What types of things do you think block people from having a really deep, meaningful spiritual experience?
Well, first of all, I think anybody who takes the time to meditate is doing a tremendously beneficial thing for themselves and the planet. There's lots of research that shows that when we meditate, when large numbers of people in a specific urban area meditate, that the crime rate actually goes down. So when you meditate, when you take the time to sit or lie down or be quiet and achieve that meditative state, you're contributing to the world at large and to peace on earth. So that is a wonderful thing to do. However, that experience can only last for ourselves for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, or however long we're meditating. It is my experience, Cabrini, to really grow spiritually, we have to address our unconscious blocks and we have to really address the core issues that are holding us back. And it is my experience working with people, clearing their limiting beliefs, that when we address the hurts in our lives, the tragedies in our lives, and the things that really bother us, when we face our issues, that's what allows us to leap ahead spiritually. So in order to grow spiritually, I think there has to be a certain amount of honesty and truth and level-headedness as we look at ourselves with humility. But One of my favorite quotes about this, a lot of times we think, well, I had this horrible childhood, or I had this terrible thing happen to me. But we have to remember that these events are not merely personal. Everyone you know has had challenges. I think they say that the average person by the age of 30 could be depressed, and the average person by the age of 50 has had so many things happen to them, they could be depressed for the rest of their lives. However, we have to realize this is how light gets in. This is how light gets in. When we have these challenges in our lives, we realize that we alone, our ego alone, is not capable of surviving or sometimes comprehending or surmounting these challenges. So when we have these tragedies and these cracks in our personality, our families, our lives, then we turn to our spiritual self, and that is how light comes in, and we bring light into ourselves and light into our lives.
Wonderful. Well, I think that your book really, it really sounds like such a framework to really support individuals that are coming to terms with themselves, you know, and their own history. You know, I heard this this term a long time ago, and it goes like this. You know, deal with your history, or your history will deal with you. And it does so, doesn't it? Doesn't it cause difficulties in people's lives, things that they are, what you would say, or what I would recognize as a block of energy? It really can create difficulties for individuals, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, like you said, the various bodies.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the other things that you talk about is resistance to change. Why do you think people actually resist change, Catherine?
Well, it's so funny because so many of us pray for spiritual growth, and yet the kind of spiritual growth that we think we want doesn't usually look the way it actually happens. So a spiritual growth experience might be a divorce or the death of a loved one or a car wreck or your house burning down.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always happen in the form of a tragedy or a challenge, but again, those are the ways that light gets in. Those are the times when we really get down on our knees and pray. Those are the times when we really realize that our ego alone is not capable of handling all problems. So, again, I think that personally, I feel that the only way that any of us really get through life is by developing a deep spiritual connection. And the deeper our spiritual connection, the easier our life becomes and the more of service we can be to everyone around us.
Absolutely. I agree completely with that. I was laughing to myself as you were speaking because it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, the personal evolution and transformation is very important in your book and in your life. Can you tell us why?
Well, again, most people do not grow very much spiritually. So a lot of times what happens is these normal challenges come up because everybody's life is challenging to some degree, and some people's lives are even more challenging. So if we look upon the challenges that arise as opportunities for spiritual growth, then we can embrace them, embrace the lessons, embrace the transformation. If we look at the things that happen as something that happens to us or against us, and if we see ourselves as victims, then we lose the opportunity to grow spiritually, and we miss that opportunity. So in my book, I talk about how, in my view, there's really only four problems ever. The four problems, in my view, this is the world according to Catherine Kerrigan, there's blocks. So if a tree falls down across the road and I can't drive my car across that road, that's a block. There is resistance. So one of the big healings that I do with many people is I do a healing with them to be willing to be happy, to be willing to be healthy, to be willing to be successful. And that's a very extensive healing, because there's many ways at which we are blocking our own transformation, because we get payoff for staying the way we are. So there's blocks, resistance, interference. So if your mother-in-law rearranges the furniture in your living room, that's interference. There's blocks, resistance, interference, and then congestion. Congestion is hardening of the arteries. It's the clutter in your house. It's the mind chatter in your mind. It's congestion. So blocks, resistance, interference, and congestion. And if I'm doing a medical intuitive reading and I'm looking at what's keeping a person from being healthier or happier, I'm looking for what's the blocks, what's the resistance, what's the interference, and what is the congestion. And if we look at things that way, then problems become a lot more, it becomes much easier to see what the real issue is. So, for example, if you look at your living room and there's clutter everywhere, then that's congested energy that has a massive effect on your transformation. Nothing new can come in because you're so surrounded by old energy.
I really like that. You know, it's kind of like a reflection, wouldn't you say? What's happening inside is being reflected in your, you know, external world.
Yes.
And so if you're not aware, you know, that, you know, you might be feeling uncomfortable, or you might have a sense that something's not right in your life. You know, one of the ways that you can really know that for sure is just look around your area where you are.
That's true.
Your surroundings will speak to you. It will tell you what's happening with you if you can't see it in yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm not a feng shui master. However, I refer many of my clients to feng shui masters, and a lot of times it's very common on a first reading with me that I tell someone, go home and clean up at least one room in your house. Start somewhere. Start creating that space where transformation can occur. Because if you're surrounded by old energy, nothing new is going to come in. You're not going to get new insight. You're not going to have fresh chi coming in. So it's really a big deal. And it works both ways, in that our environment affects us and our environment, and we affect our environment. So your life, your house is like a hologram of what's really happening with you.
Yeah, I really love that. Catherine, we do have someone that's asking to come on the show with us. Would you be willing to take a caller?
Absolutely.
All righty. Hello, good evening. This is area code 780. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks very much.
And who are we speaking with?
We're speaking with Jay from Canada.
Hi, Jay. Do you have a question, or is there anything that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm going to ask Catherine a question. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Jay. How are you? My mentor in healing is from Canada. I love Canada. I just wish it wasn't so cold, but except for the cold, I love Canada.
It's warmer now in summertime.
Thank goodness.
My question, Catherine, is that why do you, in our brain somehow, that we think the situation that is at hand for a moment, for let's say for example, something happened all of a sudden, that we go into fear mode, but we don't go into that creative process of actually getting out of that situation, or creative ways to actually responding to some
okay,
sort of.
Okay,
yeah.
I understand. Okay,
yeah.
So basically what Jay asked is, why does our brain go into fear mode? Okay, and I have a great explanation for you. So this is, I like to put things as simply as possible, because it's simple, we all understand. Inside your brain, Jay, you have two amygdalae. They're little organs, they're shaped like little footballs, and the amygdalae, I like to make an analogy, they're like the control towers at the airport. So at the Atlanta airport, where I live in Atlanta, the airplanes come in, and the control tower says, land on runway A or land on runway B. So when information comes into our brain, the first place it goes is to the amygdala. Now, if your brain perceives this information as safe, then the amygdala will direct the signals into your brain into the frontal lobes. When you're in your frontal lobes, you access your creativity, you access your higher reasoning, you access, you know, everything that you've learned. Now, if the information comes into the amygdala and it's frightening or scary, it goes to the back of the brain, the reptilian brain. When you're in your reptilian brain, all you're doing is reacting. You're operating off of old programming. You could be the most enlightened, well-read, highly educated person in the world, and if you get scared, you're going to go into your reptilian brain, you're going to react, and when you're in the amygdala, you either fight, you flee, or you freeze. Now, when I'm doing a medical intuitive reading or I'm doing a healing with someone, Jay, one of the things that I do, as I mentioned, is I find the emotion. It is very common to find emotions coming out of the amygdala, and one of the things that I ask, is this person in fight? Because when we go into that reptilian brain, we're maybe there's only three choices. You either fight. You fight the government, you fight other people, you fight your boss, you fight your family, you flee, you run away, you meditate and, you know, shut the doors, never speak to anyone, you go into hermit mode, or you freeze. When you freeze, you're not moving forward. And as I said to a client just today, even if you're moving slowly, it's perfectly okay to move slowly, but keep moving forward. The fastest way through the mud is through the mud, not over the mud, behind the mud, under the mud. It's through the mud, moving forward. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, it does. It does, because I was always wonder, you know, we try to figure things out, but we're not sure how our human body, you know, works basically in some sort of way, like the basics. So we understand, like a basic understanding of how we respond or react to situations, so. Or experiences.
Yes, and again, there's lots of things that threaten us that we are conscious or even unconscious of, and that's why it's very good to have practices that calm us, whether it's yoga or tai chi or qigong or meditation or deep breathing. I'm a big fan of all of that. So because we have to have practices that calm us, so when we're in that calm state of mind, we can access our higher self, we can access our wisdom, we can access all the books that we've read and our wisdom. And when we are afraid, again, you're either fighting, you're fleeing, or you're freezing. And you're not in your higher self.
So what would you suggest? You would suggest, what I'm hearing you say, let me just get this clarification from you, is that if you are in the fight or the freeze, and what was the third one? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Fight, flight, or freeze.
Or fight, flight, or freeze. Meditation, moving your focus of your attention in a different space. Is that what you're recommending?
Yeah, if you realize that you're in survival mode, anybody who's in survival mode, fighting, fleeing, or freezing. And so when we recognize we're in survival mode, then what we want to do is take action in order to shift us out of that internal state. And you can shift your internal state by meditating, by practicing yoga, by walking in the woods, by practicing tai chi or qigong or deep breathing. And if you go to my website, unlimitedenergynow.com, I have free videos on deep breathing exercises. I personally am a big fan of pranayama and deep breathing because it's free and you can do it anytime, anywhere with no equipment. You don't need a yoga mat. You don't need a meditation cushion. You can be a police person driving in your car and practice deep breathing. You can be a teenager at your test in the schoolroom and practice deep breathing. It's something that we can all do everywhere.
I just want to thank Jay for listening to the show today and calling in. I think it's really important that if you have a question, pick up the phone. That's why we host the show, is so we can bridge the gap between each other. I want to thank you. We have just about a minute left. Thank you all for being with us, those that are in our chat room, those that are listening live, wherever you are on planet Earth. Catherine, reach out to Catherine. My apologies. I said Savannah. It's Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, no worries. I grew up in Savannah. So
oh, okay.
It's
I knew
that's
I saw
true
the connection
also.
There. But we'd love to have you back again, Catherine, at another time. And, you know, we want to offer support to everyone out there. Visit our website, alltruenatural.com. Get involved. Reach out in your community. Love yourself unconditionally. Love the world. We'll be back here on Tuesday evening, and you guys have a great evening. Thank you again, Catherine and Jay.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We're going to be ending the show with a little music from Jim
Wafer.